You are listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Prepare to be enlightened, entertained, and moved to grow as you hear practical advice on building and enriching the experience of worship at your church. And now, Dr. Craig Gilbert.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast. Our podcast is here to help you with any and all aspects of church planning and development, but with a special emphasis on congregational worship. I'm your host, Dr. Craig Gilbert, founder and lead consultant of Purposed Heart Ministries, and I am happy to be with you each week as we talk about the important issues that so many churches must face each and every day. We really appreciate you continuing to help share this podcast around and let people know about it, especially if you're finding it helpful. Share that with others so that they can find help as well. Hey, I'm a little sick this week, so I'm a little congested, so the voice isn't quite where it's supposed to be, but I hope that you can hear me, and I hope that I'm easy enough to understand, just a little bit lower in pitch than I usually am. So we've been discussing over the last couple of weeks words for powerful worship, and so far we've talked about joy in worship, and we've talked about relationship in worship. You can look back on the two previous podcasts if you haven't had a chance to do that so far, and you can find out more about those two words. But the whole point of this series is to give you points of emphasis that will allow you to build powerful, interactive worship that allows people to experience God's presence in a way that is meaningful to them and hopefully life-changing. This week's word is action. That's right, action. Now, you may think to yourself, well, wait a minute, there's all kinds of action in our worship service, and I have to ask you, is there really? Have you really thought about that? Have you really spent some time looking at the actions of the worship service? So even if you think you have, would you bear with me and just hang with me and let's just see where you end up at the end? You may end up at the end of this podcast and go, hey, I'm doing great. Or you may end up and go, well, I thought I was doing great, but maybe I should go back and look at it again. So just bear with me and let's take a look at what action means in powerful worship. So one of the biggest impediments to worship that I have found is actually, and this is an impediment to a true biblical expression of worship, and that is our failure to understand our role in worship as worshipers. So many people come in and they think that they're supposed to be in a receptive mode. In fact, we even tell them that, come planning to receive, come expecting to receive. Well, there's a problem with expecting to receive, and that's only half of the action. That puts all of the action on God's end, and then if all the action is on God's side, then where is the worship? Because worship is a verb. Worship is, the term worship means to bring. It completely, down to the core, it means to bring. One of my favorite and actually all the way through says to bring worthiness or honor to something that is worthy or someone who is worthy of honor, usually involving a deity. In our case, we are certainly involving a deity. We're certainly involving God. One of my favorite definitions of worship is by the late worship theologian, Dr. Robert Weber. I think he'd probably cringe if I said a worship theologian, but he was a worship theologian. He was a worship expert. He a worship historian. I don't think anybody understood worship better than Robert Weber did. In fact, we have Robert Weber to thank for really the explosion and revival of interest in worship that we've had over the last 40 years. But Robert Weber's primary definition of worship was this: worship is a verb. It's not something that is done to you or for you, but is something that is done by you. But how often do we look out in our congregations and our worship services, and all we see is people who are waiting for something to be done to them or to be done for them? I have so many people who say to me, you know, well, I can't engage in worship because of this, or I can't engage in worship because of that. Well, actually, when I sit down and talk to them, they weren't looking to engage in the first place. They were looking to receive. They came in expecting to receive, and I can't blame them. I mean, to be honest with you, the church has been saying, come, expecting to receive. I've seen that on multiple ads and videos for churches. A church will say, come expecting to receive a blessing from God. Come expecting to receive a word from God. Well, okay, that's fine, but that's only half the equation. And so you may think to yourself, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Well, I would argue that we have something in our culture, in our nomenclature, especially down in the South, that we completely understand. So I want you to I want to talk to you about this metaphor that I have, because what we want to do is we want people to come into worship looking to get into the action. We don't want them just expecting to just sit and receive what God has prepared for them. We want them to come looking to be part of the process. We want them to come bringing something, because remember, the first two words of worship, of the definition of worship, is to bring. To bring. So start thinking right now about your worship and give me where there are some opportunities in your mind, where there are some opportunities for worshipers to bring something. But let me take you down this little metaphor. This is a really long metaphor that I've developed, but I'm gonna give you the short version. Somebody gives you a call at your house and they say they're having a potluck supper, or they're having supper at their house. And they want you to come over, you to bring your family or whatever, and they want you to come. See, already they want you to bring your family and come over to their house for potluck supper, or at least a supper. If it's not a potluck, but let's just call it a supper. And, down here in the South, there's something that we say almost immediately. We say, "What can I bring?" That's our way of saying, yes, I'm coming and I want to bring something. I want to join the collective. I don't want to come empty-handed. And a lot of times the host who's inviting you will say, "Don't bring anything. Don't worry about it. I got it all covered." Well, down here, it's bad manners if you don't bring anything, because we'll just bring something anyway. And 9 times out of 10, we'll bring whatever it is that we like to eat that we want to share with other people. We want other people to understand who we are by what we bring. It says a lot to other people about us when we bring something. And so I wonder sometimes why we don't have that same attitude in worship. Because you see, maybe it's that we don't clearly understand that God invites us to worship. Jesus invites us to worship. Jesus and God say, "We want you to come, be in our presence, be in the presence of God." And instead of saying, "Well, what can I bring?" we just kind of show up empty-handed and say, "Okay, well, let me have whatever you're handing out," like we're looking for something, some free stuff. And we wouldn't do that if our friends invited us over for a dinner. We wouldn't invite us over for a party, but yet we will do that with God. Maybe it's because we think God's got enough. God's all powerful. God's all knowing. God doesn't need us to bring anything, but God expects us to bring something. Again, that's why we call it worship, to bring. Even if it is our adoration, even if it's just our love, maybe it's our singing, maybe it's love for somebody else, but we are supposed to come and get involved. We are supposed to bring something of ourselves, and not just our money. So many people think, "Well, I put something in the offering plate." Well, that's good. But, last time I checked, the great commandment was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Money isn't in there. Now, Jesus preached more about money than he preached about anything else, so money is important. But heart, soul, mind, strength. Are you bringing all of those? And are you planning on investing all of those in worship? Or are you just coming looking to receive? Now, those of you who plan worship in the coming weeks, in order to accurately set out this word of worship that I want you to use, of action, in the coming weeks, I want you to take a look at your worship plans, and I want you to ask this question of each thing you have planned. So for each song, each prayer, each sermon, whatever you're planning on doing in worship, I want you to ask this question: what is the congregation supposed to do? How are they supposed to engage in this action, in this thing that is happening in the worship service? How are they supposed to engage? If you find out after that examination that most of the worship time is spent with the congregation as observers, they're just watchers, then there's a problem with your worship plan. You are not building and planning worship that includes the congregation in a meaningful way. And that's not worship. That is a worship event where I get to watch you do it. But that's not true congregational worship. You need to have an action. Every single thing should be planned out in a way that the congregation has something to do. Yes, I know sometimes they're just going to sit and listen, but how can they actively listen? How can you involve them? How can you get them connected to where they're not just sitting on their hands or playing on their phones, but they're actually participating in worship, even if it's just through listening? You see, we as worship planners have to plan worship with that in mind. We have to go at it with that as our primary goal, to get the congregation involved, to get them active. So if you go through and you find out that there's not a whole lot of action for the congregation time, and by the way, singing isn't it. That's not the only place the congregation can get involved. Every single action, and that includes the sermon, The congregation should be involved in the process. And if you have any questions about what I mean by that or how to do that, please send me an email, give me a call, and let's talk about how we can incorporate that into the worship at your church. But if there's if all they're doing is sitting around, then you got to work on your you got to work on your worship plan. Now, if you intend for them to participate, but they're just sitting there, then you have to ask yourself, what can you do to include the congregation and increase their participation level? I apologize. Wow, I don't have a cough button, so that's a sneeze. That's the flu that I've got, and apologize. But if you intend for them to participate and they're just sitting there, then you have to ask yourself, what can you do to increase their participation level? Usually it's just as simple as not only asking them to participate, but also explaining to them how they need to participate. You know, a lot of times we are smarter than our congregation, or too smart for our own good. Our congregations are pretty smart. But we plan things and we throw them out there, but we don't clue anybody else in. And so our congregation ends up just sitting there on their hands, and you're wondering, hey, man, I planned this big thing and I really wanted y'all to participate, and they're not. And don't just tell them to put their hands up in the air or put their hands up to clap. I don't dip into pop culture very often, but there is a song by the Word Lord, the artist Lord, that I have to tell you. That line, I don't even like the whole song, but that there's one line in it. She says, I'm just tired of having people tell me to throw my hands up in the air, or something along those lines. And I tell you what, I am so tired of being in a worship service where the worship leader is telling me to throw my hands up in the air, or the worship leader is telling me to clap my hands. You know what? If you want me to lift my hands, inspire me to lift my hands. Give me something that I can connect into so that I can feel the presence of God and that I'm inspired to lift my hands. If you want me to clap, give me a song to clap to. Give me some energy. Give me something to work with. But don't just holler out. Let me, you know, give me a reason to clap my hands. I think we as worship leaders take the easy way out and we take the cheap way out. We've got to work harder at encouraging our congregations to participate and showing them how to participate. If you want people to pray a certain way, teach them how to pray that way. If you want people to pray for something in particular, tell them about it. Don't just make the plan. Incorporate the plan. Teach the plan. Coach the plan. I've often said, I don't want a worship leader. I want a worship coach. I want somebody on the platform that's coaching people, that's keeping them going, moving them forward. I realize that's technically what the term leader means, but a leader says, follow me. I don't want people to follow me. I want to teach. I don't want them just to follow me. I don't want them blindly just doing what I tell them to do. I want them to do it for a reason. I want them to want to do it. So dig in there and look in your plan and explain it to them on how they can participate. If you can do this, if you can raise the action level in your worship service by the congregation, you are going to create a powerful, powerful worship experience that can be life-changing. So add that action in. Check it out. Take a look. Be critical. Be evaluative of the worship in your service and get the action going. If you have any questions, again, please go to my website, find my contact information, give me a call, send me an email, and let's talk about how we can increase the action in your worship service. Until then, next week we'll have one more word for powerful worship, and then we'll switch gears into something else. As always, if you have a theme or you have a topic you want me to cover that you would like to hear more about, please send me that. I would be more than happy. You know, I come up with the things that I feel like talking about and that I think you might find interesting. But I know some of you out there may be dealing with something. There may be something that you really want to know, and you could use the help. So please don't hesitate. Send it to me and let me make that a part of this podcast. Until next week, I'm praying for you, praying for your church, praying for your ministry. I hope you're praying for me. And let's keep making powerful, powerful worship as we lift up the joy, as we build the relationships, and we call our congregation to action. Till next week, see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Purposed Heart Ministries podcast with Dr. Craig Gilbert. Want more from Craig? Be sure to join us online at purposedheartministries.com. We look forward to having you join us again next week.